Let us read responsively selection number 43. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness.
The Lord is great
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Let us bow for prayer. We thank thee, O God, for thy great faithfulness, which brings to us each day the constancy of thy love and the refreshing and renewing strength of thy mercy. We bring our prayers to thee for those whose need is great. We pray for those whose light has failed at the midpoint of life's journey and whose hearts no longer know the joy of song. We pray for those whose burdens show no promise of alleviation, whose hearts are sick because hope has been too long deferred. For those who have watched their achievements sink in the quicksands of failure, or who have seen their shining ideals disappear in the mists of disillusionment. We pray for those who have heard of God's mercy without ever knowing man's justice and compassion. For those who are afraid to hope and afraid to pray because their hearts are numb with hurt. We pray for those who have gotten the desires of their hearts at the expense of leanness of soul. Address to each one a healing word by thy grace. We pray, O Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. Forgive us for eating our daily bread without thankfulness, for gazing at the stars above us with brazen face. Forgive us for our unawareness of our brother's need because of the callousness of our own hearts. Forgive us for applying our minds to learning without applying our hearts to wisdom. We think of responsibilities which we have stumbled over because we were too blind to notice their existence, of far horizons of the Spirit which beckoned us forward on our journey, but which were obscured by the fog banks of our own selfishness. From our sins, O Lord, deliver us. May thy children spend themselves in thy service without stint. In thy service may they mount up with wings as eagles. May they run and not be weary. May they walk and not faint. Teach thy people, O God, to love their neighbors at home and afar, across the street and across the seas, across the lines of race and creed and ideology. Teach them to implement their love with justice and to fill their justice with love. May all men come to know the brotherhood of love because they know the fatherhood of God, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, for a few minutes, I should like to speak about an item in my personal credo. I shall speak only for myself, and I shall phrase this item this way. I believe in Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I believe in this seminary for a number of reasons, many, many reasons, but I'm going to mention only four of them. First, I believe in this seminary because I believe in the enterprise for which it lives. Last year, in his inaugural address, President Binkley said, "The fundamental purpose of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary is to seek a deeper knowledge of God as revealed in Jesus Christ, and to guide the intellectual and spiritual growth of students for the diversified ministries of the churches and agencies of the denomination. We are here to confront students with the truth about God and its implications for man and society. End of quotation. This statement of purpose points to a task of staggering magnitude. For we live in a time of battle testing for the Christian faith, a time when foundations are shaken, when value systems are eroded, abandoned, and replaced, a time when meaning hangs on the abyss of nothingness, when every Christian affirmation has the hollow sound of incongruity, and when the beauties and harmonies of a more settled age have become shapeless and grotesque. A terrible time, and perhaps a glorious time. In such a time, it is the task of this seminary to train men for the Christian ministry for today and tomorrow. However inadequately we may perform our duties here, I count it a distinct honor to be able to stand before you today and to say that I believe in this task. And I believe in Southeastern Seminary because it has identified itself with this enterprise. Several years ago, I heard Martin Niemöller, speaking of the decline of Christianity in post-war Europe, say, "The church may go down in Germany, but if it does, I am going with it." This great enterprise of training men to be servants of the Word may go down, but if it does, it is going to take some dedicated men with it. Here is a task, if you please, that a man can stand up and drink a toast to and pledge his life to. Second, I believe in Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary because it has maintained and does maintain an ideal of scholarly excellence. How well it realizes this ideal is a matter of concern to all of us, to you and to me. Years ago, before I had ever seen this school, I used to hear that it was the very greatest. I confess that I never quite believed that. In more recent times, I have heard that it has practically gone to pot. I confess further that I don't believe that either. Just how this seminary ranks as a seminary, I would not pretend to say, although I think I know as much about the subject as some who seem to be expert rankers. That the teachers here vary in scholarly achievement, every student knows all too well. And also that the students vary in scholarly achievement, the teachers know. The teachers know all too well. The quality of seminary training here must be and is under constant study and constant review. In short, however deficient this school may be in the attainment thereof, the aim of excellence is here. In my opinion, this seminary intends to set a forward course in the achievement of excellence as a theological seminary, maintaining an open-mindedness and hospitality towards truth from whatever source it may come, exercising the employment of critical scholarship and critical judgment, nourishing a diversity and pluralism of outlook in a community of faith, of which the center is the gospel of the eternal God manifested to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. In this task, this seminary is and will be a worthy member of the great team of Christian theological seminaries in this nation. I should judge that it has not been, it is not now, and it never will be just a glorified Bible college. Third, I believe in this seminary because it has attempted to maintain a connection between the labor of the mind and the life of the church. between the labor of the man and the life of the church. We are not here to produce either intellectual slobs or intellectual snobs. We are here to aid in the equipment of men for the ministry of the church to the world. This means that a man's spiritual development here is as important as his intellectual development. Indeed, it means much more than that. It means that we do not separate intellectual and spiritual development, but that we recognize that they belong to each other and are a part of each other. Whether we succeed or fail here depends upon whether we as a seminary are able to minister in the service of the church and in the name of God to the complex problems and the terrible hurts of the world in which we live, by whether we aid in the equipment of men for the ministry. Many men have experienced a surprising personal development here, and many have embarked upon challenging pilgrimages, intellectual pilgrimages, spiritual pilgrimages, matrimonial pilgrimages, and so on. And these are good, but they are not the ultimate aim and objective for which we stand. The talents we develop, the learning we acquire, are instruments of ministry. The task is ministry. The objective is ministry. The service is ministry. I believe in this seminary because it is seeking to help men in their whole task and their whole ministry. Certainly a minister is not effective if he does not have a devotional life and a worship experience. Personally, I think that our work in this area ranks considerably below an A average, but a recognition of its essential importance is not dead in this school. I read of a clerk in a travel bureau who, day by day, worked out schedules for other people to take distant journeys. The names of great cities and obscure villages all over the world were familiar to her and rolled glibly off her tongue every day. She became adept at finding distant places on a map and in arranging schedules to and from them. But month after month and year after year, her own travels were virtually limited to the short trip from her apartment to her place of work each morning and to the return trip in the evening. She talked all the time about faraway places, but she had never been to any of them. Man may come to a theological seminary and become proficient in various subjects of study. He may be able to talk glibly about the great mysteries of the Christian faith. He may be even able to categorize and pigeonhole his fellow ministers with swift dexterity, aplomb, and relish as liberals, conservatives, fundamentalists, modernists, fuddle-de-duds, blockheads, or nincompoops. Even so, if he does not live at a deep devotional level and in a profound worship experience, he will talk smoothly all his life about places to which he himself has never gone and about truths which, despite his acquaintance with academic jargon, he knows virtually nothing about. I believe in this school because it seeks to equip men and women for the work of the Christian ministry. I believe in it because it attempts to maintain a connection between the labor of the mind and the life of the Christian church. Fourth, I believe in Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary because in this crucial period of its history, the man who heads it and leads it is a man of Christian vision and compassion, of acute intelligence, of great integrity, and of a tenacious dedication. Let us continue our worship by singing hymn number 176. mercy and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you henceforth and forever. Amen.